Hello, friends. We're on Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 161A. We're on page 691, and some of this material we have covered before. Sometimes I find a little something extra to say about it that may have occurred to me since we dealt with it last. A systemic formation of great importance in the next round should be pointed out, which will bring in three schemes, and this is the Judgment Day round. The well, it may be, I don't know, maybe there'll be, this is a lower correspondence of a still higher Judgment Day, I'm not sure, but this will be the fourth round, the fifth round of the of the fourth chain. And so the planetary factors which will be brought in are the Earth scheme, Mars, and Mercury. Well, this is interesting. Into such a position in relation to each other that the following results will eventuate. So let's see. Well, a systemic triangle will be formed, of course, because these are planetary logoi of planetary schemes. Yes. Three of the sacred planets, it should be remembered, are the home of the, let's see, well, maybe there's nothing further here to be said. I think I'd like to go to page 390 and see if anything further is said with the following results. Logoa Kundalini will circulate freely between these three points. A certain great logoic center will be vitalized, and the attention of Logoa Kundalini will pass from the present triangle in the process of forming Earth, Venus, and a scheme whose name it is advisable to withhold, and to the other. An entirely new group of human beings will sweep into incarnation in our Earth scheme. All right, I think this gives us the hint that we need. You know, when you don't include the whole, you need the context. Three-fifths of the present humanity, being on the probationary path or the path of initiation at that time, will have their center of consciousness definitely on the mental plane, while two-fifths will remain focused on the astral. These two-fifths will pass into temporary pralaya, preparatory to their transference to another scheme, as the Earth scheme will no longer provide them with adequate place of nurture. Entities will come in from Mars to the Earth scheme and will find their necessary field of endeavor. Oh, so much amazing. All of this is going on at that time. Entities, Mercurian life will begin to synthesize and to be transferred to its synthesizing planet, which is Uranus. In the case of Mercury, this synthesizing planet is not Saturn, but one of the two higher major centers. So, I think what we see here is that the synthesizing of Mercury occurs early in the day, and we don't have to think about it being transferred to Saturn and thence to Uranus. And the Judgment Day in the fifth round of the point of attainment of our heavenly man will see a period of planetary strife on mental levels which will cause the present world unrest to seem as nothing. Okay. As pointed out earlier, this present struggle has been to test the ability of the entities within the present human forms to appreciate their mental forces and through the power of mind to transcend feeling or pain. And then he goes on to the struggle in the fifth round. So what I want to do here is add to this so we can get a better view of what will really happen and what this triangle may be. And there it is. All right. So what we do now is we make this smaller. We make this smaller. And we can tell something about, well, what we can tell really is that this triangle has something to do with the judgment day, I do believe. See, that is the idea that at this point, a new group of human beings will sweep into incarnation. They will be on the probationary path, and the others will be transferred, I believe, to Mars. And that is the reason for this triangle. The Earth scheme, Mercury pulling in one direction. Let's see. I want to... Mercury pulling in one direction, I would say, towards Buddhi. And Mars pulling in the other. So that two-fifths will be transferred from our Earth to Mars, but first into Pralaya. And then from Mars, those who are qualified will be transferred to our Earth scheme. And the Earth scheme is in the middle. So this indeed, a decision has to be made via Mercury. Mercury in many ways, along with Saturn, Mercury is a planet of decision, because it can go towards one pole or another, whether horizontal or vertical. And these are the great results. So I think we're looking at, this is looking like a judgment day triangle. The following triangle looks like a judgment day triangle. Surprised not to see Venus involved, but maybe another triangle, will be of Mercury, Venus, and the Earth. And this is what will make the Earth so hospitable. I mean, helping to make Earth a sacred planet. So a number of triangles can be at work simultaneously, I would say. But to see Mars involved here, pulling in another direction, pulling two-fifths of humanity off, in a way, pulling two-fifths of humanity towards itself, and those who come in from Mars will have to have the qualifications. Well, let's make sure that we have that. QLF. Qualification. Qualification, yes. And QLFS, QLFS, qualifications. Qualifications, okay. We'll have to have the qualifications to remain with those on the path on Earth, or in the Earth scheme. So that, I suspect this, that Venus will be involved, because we're going to be dealing with the concrete mind and the higher mind at that time. So the position of Mars here, Mars also tells us about how the concrete mind will be involved in the struggle. The struggle seems actually very, very great. How does he say it? Will be between higher and lower mind, and the battleground will be the causal body. Well, there we go. And Mars is the lower mind. It's one of the lower mind planets, and it rules orthodox science, as we're told, and the senses. The struggle in the fifth round being on mental levels will be between egos and egoic groups, each working consciously and with intellectual application to bring about certain group results. Well, that's a little bit mystifying. It will result in the triumph, the ultimate triumph of spirit over matter, in the driving out of certain groups as yet unable to shake themselves free from the trammels of matter and who prefer captivity to the life of spirit. That they can experience on Mars, I suppose, which will still be suitable for their advancement. It will mark the beginning of the obscuration of our scheme. The beginning of the obscuration, I guess it takes a long time because we descend into matter and we're at the lowest point in the scheme in a way. We're in the fourth scheme, fourth round, fourth chain, that's the lowest point, and then a gradual ascent towards obscuration. And the gradual passing into pralaya during the remaining 2.5 rounds of our entire 7 chains. Well, you know, there seem to be 3.5 rounds still to come. So that is a little bit of a mystery. Will we take the full 7 rounds? That is the question. So Venus has already had her fifth scheme round, or is in her fifth scheme round. We're simply in our fourth. But maybe, come to think of it, well, I guess it is, if we're in our fourth round, then we have still 5. If we've done 4.5 rounds, definitely 4.5 plus 2.5 is 7. So that's not easy to interpret. But maybe our Earth will be able to accomplish in that amount of time, in 2.5 more rounds, what it normally would take 3.5 rounds to do, and that would mean that 6 rounds would be involved of a scheme type, whereas it looks like Venus is accomplishing in 5 scheme rounds. All right. So, we understand Mercurian life is synthesizing there. I suppose Venusian life has already started to synthesize. And then we're told that our Earth, let's see, does it tell us this? It will mark the beginning of the obscuration. Well, obscuration and synthesizing are not the same. And not only that, but we talk about an entire scheme. It must be a very slow process. And a gradual passing into pralaya during the remaining 2.5 rounds of our entire 7 chains. So do only 6 remain? That seems, the fifth round and the sixth round, as well as still half of the fourth scheme round. All right. 3 of the sacred planets, it should be remembered, are the home to the 3 major rays, and we've discussed this. The embodied forms of the 3 logoic aspects are principles. Other planets are embodiment of the 4 minor rays. And we might consider, from the standpoint of the present, that Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn might be considered the vehicles of the 3 super principles at this time, presumably Atma, Buddhi, Manas. We talked about Mercury, Earth, and Mars, and their alliance with these particular planets. A kind of 6-pointed star is found here, but now it goes on further. The evolution of the inner round has a close connection with this problem, and we remember that the inner round can occur on etheric planets, or perhaps on the hidden, within the hidden chains of other of visible planets, such as Mercury. This gets back to the idea of the 10 and the 7 and the 3. And we may have hidden planets or hidden chains on which progress can occur. Perhaps some light may be thrown upon the obscurity of the matter by the realization that, just as the Logos has in the non-sacred planets, the correspondence to the permanent atoms of the human being, so in the middle evolution between these two, God and man, is the heavenly man who is made up of human and Deva monads. Aha. How interesting. Whose body is made up of human and Deva monads, and who likewise has likewise his permanent atoms, and who has likewise his permanent atoms. Always the three higher principles can be distinguished importance from the four lower. But there are a couple of things that are needed here to discuss. Can it be that in the non-sacred planets only can we actually say that? Because it doesn't. It seems to contradict when he says that Saturn, which is a sacred planet, has a correspondence to the physical permanent atom for the Logos. So can we really say that in the non-sacred planets only are the correspondences to the permanent atoms of the Logos, presumably the solar Logos? In other words, in such planets as Earth, Pluto, Mars, and two others, which are veiled, are found all the permanent atoms of the solar Logos. Now, as a matter of fact, the if we're talking about the, yeah, we have to find the solar Logos. The solar Logos really only has one permanent atom on the cosmic physical plane. And that seems to be the correspondence to Saturn. And other beings have more. The human being has five. The evolution of the inner round, okay. Perhaps some light may be thrown upon the obscurity of the matter by the realization that just as the Logos has in the non-sacred planets the correspondence to the permanent atoms in the human being, well, this is problematic, we have to say, problematic given page 406, where Saturn is definitely mentioned as a correspondence to the Logos, a physical permanent atom. And also Uranus and Neptune are mentioned as reflections. I wonder, if we're speaking of the lower permanent atoms. Are we speaking of the lower permanent atoms? In which case, Earth, mental unit, Mars, possibly, well, different ways of looking at it. Mars can be the astral permanent atom, possibly. And Pluto, the physical permanent atom. But what of the others and higher? What of the three triadal units? And here it would seem somehow unsuitable that the sun or the moon or the planets representing them should take these higher places. So the subject is very blinded. Perhaps some light may be thrown by the realization that just as the Logos has in the non-sacred planets the correspondence to the permanent atoms in the human being, So the middle evolution between these two is the heavenly man, a planetary logos, whose body is made up of human and deva monads, and who has likewise his permanent atoms. Now, the permanent atoms, what will they be? Will they be these groups? Will the permanent atoms of the planetary logos be the groups of monads, of human and deva monads, and deva monads? In the system of the planetary logos. So the middle evolution between these two, God is the solar logos, and man is man, is the heavenly man of planetary logos, whose body is made up of human and deva monads. The deva, well, human and deva monads, definitely, and they have to be on the monadic plane, and who has likewise his permanent atoms. But what would be the true correspondence? If planets are correspondences to permanent atoms in the solar logos, we have to have this. Would chains be correspondences to permanent atoms in the planetary logos? Because it seems the next step down is the chain. That is the possibility, but of course we'd have to try to work that out. The chains are chakras, but the chains can be also correspondences. Now, however, are there non-sacred chains? Somehow we've just been told that the non-sacred planets are the correspondences to the permanent atoms in the logos. So, I'm going to ask this. Are there non-sacred chains? And do they thus divide as 7 and 5? I'm remembering Jeffrey Barborka in his book on the Divine Plan dividing, I think, the chains of the planetary logos into 12. Maybe for reason of producing a 7 and a 5. But we seem to find these sacred chains as being higher. So I don't think we know enough to solve this particular problem, only to lay out the solution. That is the story. If you cannot solve, at least try to lay out the elements of the solution. See, are monadic groupings really the permanent atoms in man? These are made of a certain type of substance, are they not? So somehow do those groups of monads, of human and deva kind, have a correspondence to the planets, which are embodying principles and are of or chakras in the solar logos? He gives us a hint here, but I think it would take a long time to try to follow it up, so let's do that. This one I think we have already dealt with. Well, I don't want to let it go, you know? That's the problem. Don't really want to let it go. He's the heavenly man whose body is made up of human deva monads, and we're even told that the chakras, the devic essence is more the body itself, and the concentrations of force within the body have more to do with the human monads. But of course, these are all found on the monadic plane, and chakras are found elsewhere. So maybe from the monadic plane comes the vorticular force which can bring in the chakras in the planetary logos. This is really an intricate matter because there are so many different chakras. Chains are chakras, and you have to kind of ask whether the different types of monads have their home in the different chains or are somehow responsible for the existence of the different chains. And yet we have chain lords, each of which is an aspect of the planetary logos. So it gets even more intricate, I think, when we start to talk about the planetary logos than it does when we talk about the solar logos. In other words, what is a chain lord and what is the relation of Deva and human monads to these chains? Every one of these chains has, I think, a monadic plane. Because while they may not have lower vehicles, they have all of the higher ones, as far as I can understand. So somehow are these human and Deva groups, I just have to ask that, at least put it down, are the human and Deva monads in their ray groups somehow distributed on the monadic planes of the seven chains? And yet, right here in relation to our globe, we have all the different monadic types, don't we? It appears. And probably on the other globes we would as well. So is there really such an isolation? And do these monadic groups really form the, in any sense, the permanent atoms of our planetary logos? I don't think I've thought much about the structure of the permanent atoms. They might be all of man's permanent atoms. There are only two permanent atoms. Only two permanent atoms of the planetary logos on the cosmic physical plane, and only one of the solar logos. All the others are found elsewhere. So if the monadic groupings are permanent atoms, then they would be the lowest permanent atom. The monadic groupings in the planetary logos would be associated with the lowest of the permanent atoms. Permanent atoms are sevenfold, or seven groups of monads. I'd like to, I'm wondering here if I can go directly to a page I might remember, and it could be 533, and it is, and the solar logos has only one permanent atom, the physical, on the cosmic physical plane. Its other permanent atoms would be higher. The planetary logos has two permanent atoms on the physical and astral plane. But what is the physical and what is the astral for it? Now man has, let's see, man has six permanent atoms, and one of them, the mental unit, is called a permanent atom. So 533 to 535 holds the secret in cosmic fire of this kind of discussion. But only one, the physical permanent atom, is found on the, I believe this is the cosmic physical plane, because the solar system only exists on the cosmic physical plane, and the higher vehicles of the solar logos are not called, are not said to be part of the system. So, can it be in some way that on the monadic plane are found the physical permanent atoms of the planetary logos, and on the astral, on the Sea of Fire, are found the astral permanent atoms, with the others being found above. This is a bit of a... See, because the system is simply the etheric physical body, and so the sun only has one permanent atom in its etheric physical body, just the physical, and that's Saturn is the correspondence there. And the planetary logos, what would the permanent atoms be? Would they be in some way the groups of monads for the physical and whatever lives there are on the logoic plane that are planetary logoic, such as the Buddhas of activity and so forth? Would those Kumaras somehow represent the astral permanent atom? This gets a little bit too difficult to solve. And then, of course, the higher permanent atoms, it has a mental, you know, it has a mental unit. It has, of course, higher triadal permanent atoms, buddhic and atmic. And where are they located? Well, we can't solve that right now. I wish we could. But at least we have the page. So consider TCF 533 to 535. Okay. Now we've done this also, and we've talked about those, again, Agnishvatas, who are working in the Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn scheme, work somewhat differently to those functioning in the Venus, Vulcan, the Mars, Mercury, and Jupiter, the Earth, and the exoteric Saturn scheme. And as I've said about esoteric and exoteric Saturn, some of my colleagues believe that esoteric Saturn is Sigma, but I think there's more about the gathering of the grand entirety on chart 6 that is exoteric Saturn. So in other words, what I'm saying here is that maybe all of this is really exoteric Saturn, not just the central planet, but the being that includes all of these beings. And it would be what we might call kind of a absorptive Saturn, a synthesizing Saturn. We should note here that we have again a triplicity of groups, and we talked about that as the triplicity of groups. We did this actually quite fully. Maybe I don't really need to go again. You know, Agnishvata is connected with, I would say, with the triad and the mental permanent atom. Agnishvata is connected with the petals, and those then which are transmitters to the atomic triangle, three types. So they represent a triplicity of force, and herein lies the hint. In the central list of schemes, the middle and lower group of Agnishvatas are active. In the central list of schemes. Okay. So there are schemes. I think what he says here, the inner round has schemes. The inner round has schemes. So the central group, then, is Venus, Vulcan, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Earth, and exoteric Saturn. In the central group of, in the central list of schemes, the middle and lower group of Agnishvatas are active. Those are the petal Agnishvatas and the those who support the atomic triangle, feeding the petals and feeding the atomic triangle. In the others, okay, now I'm understanding more. It's a good thing I went over this. in the others, and that is, I understand this now, not only the three synthesizing planets, but in the schemes of the inner round, the higher and middle group of Agnishvatas are active. Well, I wish I could go back and correct that, because what I did before was say, well, it has to be the three synthesizing planets, and I didn't think about the planetary schemes that are part of the inner round, more etheric schemes. So the higher group and the middle group hold sway. Those are involved with the triad and the coordination of the egoic lotuses, and those that are involved in the unfoldment of the petals of particular egoic lotuses. They hold sway. As these planets, and I would have to say, I'm glad I revisited this, including INCD, incarnated, okay, INCLG, including. All right. Because these planets include the hidden schemes of the inner round, and the higher Manasa Devas would be active there. So it's taken a little time to straighten that out in my mind anyway. And let's just say, not only in manifestation, let's just say, not only the three synthesizing planets, but also the etheric planets of the inner round, and are concerned only with the egos who are on the path and who are therefore group active. In connection with Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn, this might be expected. And what this means, maybe we did not expect this for the hidden planets of the inner round, as they are the synthesizing planetary schemes and provide conditions suitable only for the for the very advanced stages. They are the reaping planets, but the planets of the inner round are also advanced planetary schemes, are also advanced and provide opportunity on the path, and not so much in lower incarnation. The conditions of lower incarnation being generated by the atomic triangle, mental unit, astral permanent atom, physical permanent atom. Well, okay, it's taken a little while to straighten that one out, but I think I have it now. And unfortunately, I can't go back to correct, but maybe someone will see it. The planets Venus and Jupiter are exceedingly closely connected with the Earth and form eventually an esoteric triangle. And I would say, you know, from another perspective, having much to do with Budimanus on Earth. And with that expansion of the causal vehicle, which leads to its destruction, also with making of Earth a sacred planet, an esoteric triangle. I filled that out earlier. We have here the heart and the ajna center, or the heart and the solar plexus, and the base of the spine center. Well, Jupiter and Venus within our solar logos can represent heart and solar plexus. So there is the need here to bring a truly sacred second ray influence. These three are united by the second ray. Venus, second ray monad. Jupiter, Jupiter has a lot in common. Second ray soul. And Earth, second ray soul. So they certainly stimulate the subjective side, the second aspect, and once the, well, and they're both, you know, well, they will, I'll say this, they will help with the second cosmic initiation for our planetary logos, because two of them are already active at the second initiation of the human being. Okay, each of the planets, of which only seven were called sacred, whether known or unknown, is a septenary, as is also the chain to which Earth belongs. Okay, well, we know now that the dense planet Earth belongs to a septenary chain, but also to a septenary scheme. So there's blinding going on through the use of words like chain and scheme, and the substitution of these words for each other. Especially in Theosophy, you didn't really much have the word chain, scheme at all. All right. Now, what we have here is a list of actually dense physical planets, and so interestingly, Vulcan is included. We're not told the round. We are not told the round. I would say that, I mean, maybe the chain gives a hint as to the round. Okay? Maybe the chain mentioned gives a hint as to the round. In which case, well, we know Earth is the fourth round. Whoop. Fourth round. Well, one wants to have that. First round, FRR, fourth ray, fourth round. All right, we'll do it that way. Fourth round. So, fourth round, we know that. Jupiter and Saturn and Vulcan are not very unfolded. Does the chain tell us something about the round? Since the solar system is halfway through its progress. Interestingly enough, what is interesting here is that the chains other than the fourth can produce a dense physical planet, because Jupiter is a planet of the fourth chain, third chain, so is Saturn, and so is Vulcan. This tells that they are less unfolded because they rule higher centers. So Jupiter, Saturn, and Vulcan rule higher centers and are thus less unfolded. Saturn, throat center. Vulcan, probably some kind of head center, or the seven centers in the solilogoic head. And Jupiter, heart center. Well, we have an initiate here of the second degree who's not yet an initiate of the third degree. The unfoldment of the Ajna Center would follow with the third degree, the fifth ray. The unfoldment of the solar plexus center in an astral Buddhic being, in an astral Buddhic logos would be expected. Most is solar plexus. This is an astral Buddhic entity. So Venus is the most. Now, since there is personality integration, Mercury, if it relates to the Ajna Center, would be also unfolded, because in the integrated personality, this is the case, analogizing from man. Remember, the two-ness of the Ajna Center and the two-ness of the solar plexus center, the two points which perhaps exist in the solar logos just as they do in man. All right. So Mars is very much like our Earth. It's in the fourth round. And Venus definitely fifth round. Okay. Venus the fifth round. Now, the question arises, since Venus is more advanced than any of the other planets, because it's in its fifth round, we've been told, can Mercury too be in its fifth round, since it is focused in the fourth chain, and thus behind Venus anyway, because Venus is 5 of 5 and Mercury is 4, or the Venus is the 5th of the 5 and Mercury is the 5th of the 4th. Mercury will be either in its fifth round and thus behind Venus because it's focused in its fourth chain, or it will be in its fourth chain focused on the fifth globe. That's rather in advance of the Earth logos, of the Earth chain Lord, because the Earth is in its fourth chain focused on its fourth globe. And so is Mars. We just have to realize that these other planets, Vulcan, Jupiter, and Saturn, representing in a way Ray 1, Vulcan, Ray 2, Jupiter, and Ray 3, Saturn, are these three, Vulcan, Jupiter, and Saturn, have higher spiritual status than the Earth or Mars, but are less unfolded, and I think the analogy is good because the higher chakras tend to unfold later. The lower chakras tend to unfold rapidly. Mars, I think, is the sacral center, and that the power of the sacral center should be somewhat waning. Earth has the same story. there has to be a degree of unfoldment of the base of the spine center just to keep one alive, but in our solar logos, we haven't reached even the midway point of mental polarization, and we have not reached the third degree, and the Kundalini is not really that active. So how active is Earth if it is the Kundalini? Does it have to wait now until the solar logos goes into a really active, is really pushing towards the higher initiations before Earth will be unfolded and released into the power of its first ray monad? I would say that the Earth would have to undergo a fourth cosmic initiation, or major cosmic initiation, not just the kind of fourth it's undergoing now, which is kind of a chain initiation. It would have to undergo a fourth major cosmic initiation in order to begin to release its Kundalini function. So I think the questions that remain here is, just what round is Jupiter in, or Saturn, or Vulcan? And I don't know if we can find that. You know how it is, things are hiding from us all the time. Jupiter round. Well, oh, that's that, is that found? Let's see. Round. Jupiter round. Well, there's nine. References. And this is the one we were just looking at. Inversely, Jupiter will be either the seventh or sixth. Okay, understood. We did begin to look at this, didn't we? These are the numbering of the schemes. And he says, attach no importance to them, but I would say attach no importance to them if we don't see any importance. The round here, Jupiter's influence will be felt in the sixth round. This is talking about our rounds. They have their placement in some as in the Jupiter scheme. They are just beginning their work. Well, does that mean he's in his third round? Was there any kind of work from Manasseh Devas in our third round? We obviously have to represent a lower center than Jupiter. This is this really stands to reason that these higher sacred planets will be less unfolded than planets like Earth and Mars. We aren't even given Pluto to consider, and we know nothing about the veiled planets. Okay. There are, as has been already said, seven such schools and candidates for this path from our planetary scheme, and which path is that? Let's see. This is path number three. Okay, and candidates for this path from our planetary scheme are transferred to the inner round, and from thence to the Jupiter scheme, where they will learn how to become planetary logoi. Well, we're getting into the later considerations of cosmic fire, which I hope to be able to take up. And here, there's nothing further. This is something we've already done. And there's a repetition of certain of the paragraphs. Yeah, this one paragraph continues to be repeated. So we didn't learn that much. But let's just say, if we want to call it an intuition, I think, that the scheme rounds of Jupiter, Vulcan, and Mars, Jupiter, Vulcan, and Saturn, are in an earlier stage of unfoldment. And on Jupiter, we're just beginning to get man emerging. And who knows whether this is going to be done through the intervention of the solar angels. See, here's the point that, I remember now. If on Jupiter the Manasa Devas are just beginning their work, then maybe maybe something having to do with the number 3 is really accurate. Let's see if we can say on Jupiter beginning work. They are just beginning their work, and in others, their work is nearly completed. So do the Manasa Devas necessarily intervene in the same way they did at great sacrifice, or do they basically fan the flame? And if they fan the flame, is it necessary to do so in a fourth round, or can it be done in a third round? If in Vulcan the Manasa Devas have nearly completed their work, and let's just say the 2/5 of their humanity is transmuted, then maybe Vulcan is in a later round. See, here's the thing. There are probably solar rounds as well as planetary rounds. So there are probably solar rounds as well as planetary rounds where the life wave moves from planet to planet to planet. Are we in our fourth solar round, and does the and do the scheme rounds within a planetary scheme correspond to the solar round? If so, then all but Venus and maybe Mercury are in their fourth scheme round. But working on an earlier chain, and hence the they are behind to some degree. Now, Vulcan seems pretty advanced, even though it needs to have some of its egos trained in what the Earth can offer, probably sentiency in the second ray. It's pretty advanced, and perhaps, perhaps more unfolded than Jupiter or Saturn, and certainly more unfolded than Neptune or Uranus, which are pretty much archetypal causal planets about which nothing much is being said. And it might be like the final unfoldments of the head center and the also the zodiacal center, namely the heart of the head center for the solar logos. Vulcan has a connection there too, of course. The heart of the sun, which Vulcan is connected with that heart in the head center. So can we say anything else about what I think the remaining question is, what scheme round is Vulcan, Jupiter, and Saturn passing through? And is the scheme scheme round the same in each. It's not going to be the fifth. Could be the third, fourth or third, I would say. So in other words, the idea of keeping in sequence, keeping in tandem, keeping in relationship with what the solar logos is doing would definitely bring these planetary logoi minimally to third, maybe to the fourth. Venus is unusual through the fifth, and maybe Mercury is just the fourth round too, but slightly more in advance than Mars and the Earth because it's working through its fifth chain. Well, one day we will grasp the whole of this. One begins to realize how much one does not grasp. You know, we are living in what's called the darkened room, and the darkened room is that consciousness in which very few of the energy and energies and energy sources make an impact. So impinging upon our consciousness are only the things which do impinge, and the great majority of possible impingements or impingings are not registered. It just can't get through our consciousness. But that will change. Consciousness is so subtle that when it grows, what can you point to? Suddenly you're just aware of more. Suddenly there are just more connections, and there are just more factors in your field of consciousness. More factors show up and interact with other factors meaningfully in your field of consciousness. Thus, consciousness grows, but you look at the individual and you say, well, has anything happened? That's why, interestingly, okay, well, I tell you what, I'll take that up in a minute, try to stick to this. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 161A, page 693, and beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 161, B, page 693.